All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And of course, as you know, it is political season. It is all things political. And I promise that July was going to be an interesting month for us because all these races are heating up and the stakes get higher and higher. So we are going to have an interesting guest on the program for you today. Ron DeSantis, who is running for Congress District 6, is on the line with us. Ron, you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so glad you could be with us. And first of all, let me say I am just humbled. I think that's the right word. I'm impressed. I'm humbled. I am always just so proud of people that run for office because I know how much of a commitment you are making to seek this opportunity to serve our country.
Well, thank you. I mean, it is tough, but I got to tell you, I think our country is in a position where we're really walking away from some of the principles that make us unique as Americans. And there's a lot of people who've done a lot more than what I'm doing to defend those, particularly the military men and women who've given their life. So I think it's a critical time for our country's history. I'm working very hard, 16, 18 hours a day, but I'm trying to vindicate the sacrifice of people who've come before me.
Well, I appreciate that. And also, I've looked at your resume, and you applaud the military, but you also have a pretty substantial background there yourself. Why don't you give our listeners, well, and before we do that, you're running for Congress District 6, and you're running as a Republican?
I'm running as a Republican, the August 14th Republican primary.
Very good. And so, and the website is voteron2012.com. Give our listeners a little bit of a background, because I know that includes military experience.
Sure. Well, I'm a proud Florida native, one of the few, the proud and the brave, born and raised here, and grew up as a playing baseball and ended up getting recruited to play at Yale. And I'd never been to New England before, but I ended up going up there. First day I showed up in jean shorts and a t-shirt and did not fit in at an Ivy League school with that attire. And so it was a culture shock for me, but I ended up going to Yale, Harvard Law School. And then I commissioned in the Navy while I was in school. So I came back down to Florida, was a prosecutor for Navy JAG for a while. Then I took on some war on terrorism assignments. I was down at the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay supporting the detention operations. And then I got assigned to Navy SEAL Team 1. I was an advisor to a SEAL commander. We trained in Coronado, California for several months, and then we deployed to Iraq during the troop surge in 2007 and into 2008. So I was able to serve in that theater, and I've also been a federal prosecutor, and I'm still in the Navy Reserve. I do my 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. I'm proud to do that. And I'm the author of a book called Dreams from Our Founding Fathers, First Principles in the Age of Obama.
Wow. And where can people get a copy of that?
You can get a copy. Probably the easiest place to go is my website for the book, www.dreamsfromourfoundingfathers.com. And it has the links to buying a direct hard copy, Amazon Kindle, Nook, and then you can go to amazon.com and get it there as well.
Excellent. Well, I know how much work that is. I've written a couple of books, and you have to go and hide somewhere and work on it. Well, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, this is neat. We know it's time to really get serious about politics and about the leadership in our country. And we have on the line Ron DeSantis, who is running for Congress District 6. Ron, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. I want to get into some of the things that I know are very important to you in terms of where we're going as a country and the things that you are running to do something about it. So stay right there. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Ron DeSantis on the line. He's running for District 6 Congress. Going up to the big house is what he would like to do, and the election, the primary for Republican is August 14th, right, Ron?
That's right.
All right, well, they need to get out there and they need to vote. And the website, a little bit of information about Ron, he's got his website, voteron2012.com, and we just learned before the break that he is an author as well, Dreams from Our Founding Fathers, First Principles in the Age of Obama, and the website for that is dreamsfromourfoundingfathers.com. So Okay, here we go, Ron. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. Okay, so where do you start? I've seen kind of your list. Why don't you walk our listeners through your platform, the planks in your platform of what you would like to see accomplished if you were elected to first to represent the Republicans. Tell us what you would like to see accomplished.
Well, I think we're on an unsustainable course as a country. I don't think we're being governed consistent with what the founding fathers intended. And so my first order of business has to be the full repeal of Obamacare, because I don't think it's financially sustainable. I don't think it's desirable in terms of medical care. I think it will make most people have worse medical care than they have now. And I disagree with the Supreme Court. I think it is, in fact, unconstitutional. I think it expands the government beyond its proper constitutional limitations. So I think you got to start with that, because if you look at our debt, Obamacare is going to be $1.75 to $2 trillion minimum over the next 10 years. So there's no way you're going to be able to accommodate that additional spending in addition to all the spending that's going on now. So I would want to do that first order of business.
Well, and right there, Ron, you know, the thing that's amazing to me is, you know, when the Obamacare was being put through, so to speak, when there was somebody talking about $2 trillion, it was $800 billion at the time.
Well, that's another issue that I've raised with my campaign, is that members of Congress and people in the political class really live under their own set of rules, in the sense that you raise the issue of the estimate of the cost. They use phony numbers. They use implausible assumptions, because their whole goal was not to provide an accurate picture of what Obamacare would do. The goal was to generate a figure that would be favorable, that would allow them to say, oh, actually, this doesn't cost that much. It will even reduce the deficit. Now, if you were in the private sector and you submitted documents to the SEC or some government agency using that type of method, flawed assumptions, willfully trying to generate certain conclusions, you can end up getting indicted by a federal grand jury. And so it's just unbelievable that they would have done that, knowing that it wasn't true, knowing that we would end up with a very expensive program. So members of Congress cannot simply do what they want. They must operate under the same laws as the rest of us.
Well, if we could get that through, that would solve a lot of problems, because, you know, there's a provision that sometimes you mentioned the prosecution, and I'm sure you're familiar with this. It's a federal rule about lying. They charge witnesses with lying. And if we could hold anyone involved with government to that level of standard, that if you lie, you get prosecuted, boy, that would clear things up real quick.
Well, what I've proposed is to hit members of Congress in their pocketbooks, in the sense that I think you should have pay per performance. If you look at the debt over the last 20 years, has gone up dramatically, yet the pay scale has continued to rise for members of Congress. So what I would do is I would tie congressional pay to performance, in that if you're increasing the debt, then I think your pay should automatically be decreased by the same percentage that you increase the debt. Increase the debt 5%, your pay goes down 5%. And I think that at least makes them feel it, because right now you can continue to push this off. You can continue to make more debt for us and our children, and you personally, as a member of Congress, don't have any stake in that necessarily. In fact, it's politically better for you a lot of times to do it that way rather than actually make tough decisions.
Well, you know what it is, Ron, is every time, I know this is what you want to do and you want to be a new member of the House, but it seems like every time they get up there and they get elected, they pull the classic kid thing we always said as kids. Oh, it was like that when I got here, right? I mean, sure. Nobody takes responsibility.
Well, I think that, and that's been true for a long time. I think the difference now is that a lot of Americans know that kind of the gig is going to be up if we don't start changing the way people in Congress behave, the executive branch, the bureaucracy, that we're really have careened off what the government was supposed to be. So I'm hoping that, you know, Congress's approval rating has fluctuated from between 6 and 12% over the last several years. It's an institution that is almost universally disliked by the American public. And so I'm hoping now people can just see where we're at and agree to reform. I know there'll be young guys like me who are going to be conservative reformers. I think you got some last cycle in 2010. And I think we're going to compose a critical mass of people really looking to do big things and demanding action. We can't just sit here and say the problems are too big to solve. They're not. It's tough, but you can do it.
Amen to that, Ron. We've got on the line with us Ron DeSantis. He's running for a Congress District 6. The website is voteron2012.com. Ron, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got to talk about a couple elephants in the room, and that is the balanced budget amendment and then the tax code. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, we have Ron DeSantis on the line with us. He's running for Congress, District 6. Website, voteron2012.com. And I left you with the, right before the break, Ron, we're going to talk about, if you'd like next, talk about the balanced budget amendment. And of course, that naturally plays into a conversation about taxes. And before you answer, I think we should change the name of it. We're going to change it from balanced budget amendment to the balanced budget and backbone amendment.
Yeah, well, that's key because I support a balanced budget amendment, but I also want to support one that's going to provide protection to the taxpayer. And I think you got to have a provision in there that says you need an elevated majority in order to raise taxes. And the reason being is that if you have a balanced budget amendment with Democrats in control, and you need to plug, say, a $500 billion hole as a matter of constitutional duty, the Democrats, they actually would be fine with doing that if that meant they could jack up taxes on other people, because people like Obama view it as an instrument of social justice to punish people for success. That's part of the reason they're in politics. And so I want a balanced budget amendment that facilitates reductions in the size and scope of government and serves as a brake on runaway spending and increased growth of government. And if we can do that, that'll be a huge boon. You know, I don't think members of Congress, many of them, even some of the reforms that I've talked about with pay for performance, at the end of the day, they like to pass the buck. And so I think you need constitutional constraints against continuing to pass the buck on to future generations.
Yeah, because you know what's interesting about, and because we're talking about taxes, is, you know, it's a lot of people, even people that, you know, doing the work that I do as a financial planner, I work with people all the time, I talk about taxes, is what part of the conversation. And you know what's funny is even people that want to see higher taxes, they want it to be somebody else. You know, they're all for higher taxes, but not me. I want to, you know, I don't want to pay higher taxes. So even the people that are the most in favor of higher taxes, they don't want it to be them. And of course, Warren Buffett's a classic example.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he demagogues the issue because he's somebody who owns these companies and his companies are paying a corporate tax rate. So he will then say that the actual income that he eventually gets will be taxed at a capital gains rate. That's true, but there have been the corporate earnings are taxed higher. So we're taxed on multiple different fronts. And if you just focus on one small example and try to say that you're under tax to make a larger political point, a lot of times, you know, the devil's in the details and it's not really true.
Well, so billion or trillion dollar question is what should we do with our tax code? How many pages are we up to? It seems like every time they want to simplify it, they add 1,000 pages.
I think we're over 60 or 70,000 pages
God
now.
God bless.
We're just an affront to self-government, and I think an affront to a free society. If you had to design a code in order to frustrate growth, ingenuity, and creativity, you would probably design something like we have. So I think it's totally counterproductive, and I think we just need to start from scratch. And my guiding principle is that consumed income should be taxed one time only at one low and flat and fair rate, and I'd be fine with doing that in terms of after savings and investment income, like a flat tax, or if you wanted to move to a consumption-based single rate tax, if you repealed the 16th Amendment prohibited income tax, I think that would be better as well. So I'm pretty much 100% in favor of tax reform. I just think that our tax code is, I don't know that it can be resuscitated because it's so convoluted. There's so many little special perks and giveaways in there that that it'd be very difficult to reform it in a way that would be facilitate economic growth.
Well, I think when you get to the point of having a tax code where you can't even rely on the IRS to give you an answer and then rely on that for filing your taxes, I think you've got too much complexity.
Oh, yeah, without question. I mean, as an American citizen, you should not have to hire an attorney, an accountant or anybody to comply with the law, basically. I mean, you should be able to just discharge your duties as a citizen. We don't have that. I mean, my wife and I, you know, we signed our taxes after the accountant gave it to us this past year, and I don't know what I signed. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I don't knowingly think there was anything wrong with it, but it was just like the way some of these things were done were beyond my ability to really
comprehend. Well, it's not what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, we have Ron DeSantis on the line, and he's running for Congress District 6. The website is voteron2012.com. Ron, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back, and we can talk a little bit about the term limits and the system of, you know, the way Congress operates and what we can do to make government more efficient. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we're back. Ron DeSantis is on the line. The website is voteron2012.com, which means he's running for Congress District 6. So, Ron, let's talk a little bit, if you'd like, about congressional perks and the giveaways and of course, about it being a citizen representative as opposed to a lifelong politician.
Absolutely. I think the founding fathers envisioned a citizen going to Washington to represent the values and beliefs of the people who you live with. You're going as a servant of the people. You're not going as to join some, some elevated ruling class that rules over the people. And yet we've really, I think, gotten away from that, where we really have a ruling class mentality, not only in Congress, but also in the permanent bureaucracy and other aspects of the D.C. establishment. And we need to change the ethos of the people who go there. So I'm running as a conviction candidate in the Reagan tradition. I'm not running to obtain a title or to have a nice staff or to have get invited to cocktail parties. I'm running in order to be able to advance conservative principles and reduce the size and scope of government. And I think that is the type of candidate that we need if we really want to get away from this establishment mentality, this ruling class mentality that's become so pervasive in Washington.
Amen to that. Well, you know, if you're elected, you'll have to, when you get up there, you have to ask them, say, hey, where do I get my white wig? You know, because it strikes me always as almost like it's a aristocracy. But, you know, that's the perception sometimes you get from some of what you see in the papers and on television and some of the way they behave. And I think for most Americans, they scratch their head and they're kind of baffled, saying, how in the world did we get to this place? And I think one of them is allowing this permanent residency or being entrenched for, I don't know what the longest record is, but, you know, 30, 40 years in Congress.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the way our system is set up, it's designed to benefit incumbents. So once you become an incumbent, unless you live in the 20% of the congressional districts in the country that could even possibly change hands, 80% of them are going to go to one party or another. So once that incumbent gets in, they can really build a fiefdom, they can distribute patronage, they can do all these different things to entrench themselves in office. And too many of them, that is the goal, is to continue to maintain their position in power. And so I just think that's wrong. So I favor congressional term limits. I think you need term limits in order to be able to guarantee that new blood is going into the system. And I think it would be a valuable improvement over what we have now.
Amen to that. I think that, you know, that goes hand in hand with the, I think, creating a proper incentive for our elected officials to get things done and to be penalized if they don't. I mean, if somebody is trying to create their whole life's financial accumulation or their income and their retirement all from going up there and staying there forever, that's very different than somebody who says, you know what, I do this now, I'm going to take a break from that, go up and I'll be paid for doing the work, but I better be good and do a good job because I'm getting paid and it's only going to last a little time before I go back to my other job, which is back in the economic system.
Absolutely. And when you go, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to make a sacrifice. Public service is supposed to be a sacrifice. And that was the ethos of the founding fathers. I think we've had people throughout our history who have exemplified that, but I think we've lost that. If you want to become very wealthy, man, God bless you, but do it in the private sector.
Exactly.
Don't go and feed off the government trough, either as an elected official a lobbyist or a bureaucrat who's connected these things, go to serve and then to do your duty and then come back and live under the laws that you passed. And if we had that mentality, I think we'd be much better off. You know, it's a sad commentary on our society that right now the most affluent area in the country is not Silicon Valley where they have all the high-tech stuff. It's not some oil-producing region in Texas or even finance in New York. It's Washington, D.C. is the most affluent area in the country because you have so many people who are feeding off the government trough, who are manipulating the system in order to benefit themselves and their preferred interests. You have a bureaucracy that is very richly paid and compensated, much more so than any time in the past. And, of course, you have elected officials who are given a pretty feathered nest as well. So something is wrong with our country when Washington is the most affluent part of the country.
Well, Ron, we already know where this is going to end, and it's all over the papers, Greece and the European Union, some of the other countries. So it's not like we don't have signposts saying, hey, you're about to go off the end of this bridge and you're going to be in the water. We already know where this is going to end.
There's no doubt about it, and I think we need to understand that. We need to understand that kind of reforming this stuff is not going to be easy, but we need to be willing to use our political capital. According to Scott Walker in Wisconsin, when he took on some of these government unions that were really draining the treasury of Wisconsin, putting a huge financial burden on other people, he knew he was going to face blowback. He knew it would be tough. He did face a lot of blowback, but he stayed the course. He kept explaining what he was going to do. He kept explaining why he did it. He was able to show positive results. And you know what? At the end of the day, he was able to get, you know, a nice majority of people to say, hey, he's doing the right thing. And so I think that's got to be our mindset. When you start talking about reducing spending, eliminating,
there's going to be a blowback. You know it.
There's going to be a huge blowback, restructuring entitlements for people, you know, in my generation so that the system can remain sustainable. I mean, those things are not just going to be done without there being a major dust up. So
well, I hear you. Hey, Ron, we're out of time. And I hope that you can create a dust up. And our listeners, this has been Ron DeSantis on the line with us. He's running for Congress District 6. VoteRon2012.com. Good luck, Ron.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.